This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 28th of June 2024. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 27th of June 2024. Your readers today are Diana Brooks.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jane Rutter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are GP practice told it has to improve, heat was on for Freedom Parade, and couples cheers to pubs 10 years. So we start with the first headline story.
GP practice told it has to improve. Friarsgate given damning rating from CQC. A Winchester GP practice requires improvement over its management of medicines and care for people with long-term conditions, a recent report said. Friarsgate practice in Stockbridge Road Week was given a rating of requires improvement after the Care Quality Commission, CQC, published a report on June the 17th. Inspectors visited the practice, which has 24,500 patients, last December. It was last inspected in 2019 when it was rated as good. It was also rated on various aspects: safety, good; effective, good; caring, good; responsive, outstanding; and well-led, good. This time, they rated safety requires improvement. Effective, good; caring, good; responsive, outstanding; and well-led requires improvement. The report said, people with long-term health conditions and those prescribed high-risk medicines were not always monitored to ensure their health did not deteriorate. The report said, when medicine reviews did take place, records were not always sufficiently comprehensive to demonstrate it was safe to continue prescribing. People's feedback in relation to the safe management of their medicines was limited. However, people told us they had a good response when making repeat prescription requests. The report added, during our on-site visit, we observed that the practice had medicines stored for emergencies. These were kept up to date and monitored. The practice had not risk assessed whether they had stored a specific emergency medicine and did not have a protocol in place for all expected emergencies. Victoria Pikars, practice manager, said, in healthcare, the only constant element is change, and Friarsgate continues to prove its outstanding CQC rating for being responsive, always striving to be adaptive, dynamically reviewing and changing processes in order to offer the best patient care we can. We acknowledge that some areas for improvement have been identified during our CQC inspection. We have worked with CQC to ensure that these systems have already been reviewed and, where necessary, rectified. We would welcome CQC re-inspections at any point. We would also like to reflect our concerns around the inspection process and the significant delay in receiving our report, a delay over 6 months. In response to these concerns raised with CQC, we have received a written apology from CQC for the delay in the publication of this report, resultant from their new style inspection, which appears to have caused reporting delays wider than our practice alone.
Heat was on for Freedom Parade. The Winchester Freedom Parade has swept through town on the hottest day of the year. Military personnel marched down the High Street, parading in front of the Guildhall, to hear the Mayor's address. The event celebrated the Defence School of Logistics and Administration, DSLA, based at Worthy Down, and the city's ancient links to the military, which go back to Roman times. The Army, RAF and Navy were all represented, and the troops were inspected by the Mayor and Lord Lieutenant Nigel Atkinson on Wednesday, June the 26th. Addressing the troops from the portico of the Guildhall, the Mayor said, "Today is a special occasion. We are celebrating the historic links between this city and the military. Today is a day to be proud. I am very proud to stand here representing the city of Winchester, and I'm sure that you are all equally proud for having put on a fantastic parade with such a great turnout. Winchester has been a focal point for the nation's armed services for the past 2,000 years. The Mayor spoke about the history of the DSLA and its base at Worthy Down, which was originally gifted to Roman legionnaires for their long service in the Imperial Army. He said, "The city is deeply honoured to have such an illustrious tri-service camp with such a history in our district, and long may this continue." The British Army Band Tidworth blasted our traditional military numbers. One of the trombonist's parents were in the crowd to watch their son. Jane and Jim Fones, 78 and 77 of Alton, were delighted to watch their son Lee, a sergeant in the Rifles, lead the marching band. Jim was particularly impressed with the diversity on display in the armed forces. "I'll tell you," he said, "the thing about the army, if you think about the parade, there's a real mix of people there. And if you talk to the guys, they all get on. In the military, all you want to know about someone else is that if you get shot, they're going to come and help you. And they do."
Couples cheers to pub's 10 years. Landlords of a Hampshire country pub who had never pulled a pint before they took over are celebrating their 10th anniversary. Mandy and Peter Boxall took on the Fox Inn in Bramdean in 2014. When they moved into the 400-year-old pub, Mr. Boxall admitted, "We'd never pulled a pint until the opening. It's a bit extreme, I must admit, but I do like real ales anyway." However, 10 years on, they have survived as a traditional family pub through road closures, COVID and more. Just before the pandemic, Mandy and Peter's daughter, Josie Boxall, took over the day-to-day operations. Reflecting on the pub's rich history in the last 10 years, Mandy said, "The pub has seen the English Civil War, with a March the 29th, 1644 battle just a stone's throw from the Fox near Cheriton and the now A272, and visits from the Prince of Wales, soon to be King George IV, for refreshments in the early 19th century. Hence the plume of feathers displayed on the outside of the pub, carved from oak and transcribed Ich Dien, the motto of the Prince of Wales. Built as a traditional coaching inn, it has evolved over the years, eventually obtaining a Grade 2 listing in the 1970s. The pub still inspires stories, including Bramdean's own Romeo and Juliet, in the shape of the landlady's daughter and a local farm boy. Their bodies are buried in the nearby church. She added, "Moving on to recent history, the pub went into decline and was sold to us from Green King Brewery and was virtually derelict. Upstairs was uninhabitable and the road suffered from severe flooding the year we purchased the Fox. As you can imagine, a lot of hard work and money went into restoring the pub to be able to open for trade. The pub has now survived various trials and tribulations, including road closures and COVID. We survived selling takeout beer, cider and food, then adapting the business by making outside space. We're now moving through our 10th year with great positivity and gratefulness to all our customers, and we would love to thank them all for their continued support. We are celebrating with 10 monthly events. We pride ourselves on being one of only a few traditional pubs with our own individuality and quirkiness. A main draw to many is our beautiful surroundings in the South Downs National Park."
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Anderson, Gillian Jane Anderson, known as Jill, at Winchester Hospice on the 25th of May, aged 76. Burridge, Michael Burridge, in Winchester Hospice on the 6th of June, aged 83. Cowan, Peter Cowan, on the 9th of June at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, Winchester, aged 81. Crooks, Gwendolyn May Crooks, known as Gwen, at Laurel Care Home, Calmore, on the 15th of June, aged 96. Eames, Jennifer Ruth Eames, known as Jenny, on the 11th of June at Winchester Hospice, aged 85. Hutchins, Carol Hutchins, on the 10th of June, aged 86. Merritt, Graham Merritt, at Winchester Hospice on the 4th of June, aged 77. And Wright, Frank Brian Wright, at Winchester Hospice on the 15th of June, aged 85. And now we have Christian comment.
Christian comment from the Reverend Brian Taphouse. Sunshine of God's grace and power. The summer solstice is the one day you might say it's going to be a long day, and no one can tell you that you're wrong. This day has traditionally been a day of celebration, as we enjoy almost 17 hours of sunlight, although if you live in northernmost parts of Europe, it will not get dark at all, and the sun will never set. Stonehenge, just up the road, was designed to catch these moments, and in ancient times, humans actually worshipped the sun as the source of life. During the summer solstice, I'm thinking about how fragile our life on Earth is. Just the perfect tilt of the axis, just the perfect distance from the sun, and the perfect length of orbit. We do so much damage to our environment and each other, forgetting what a miraculous world we live in. For Christians, the natural world is seen as a revelation of God's grace and power, and throughout history we have found him through his creation. St. Francis of Assisi sees God in the greatness of the sun. He says, "Be praised, my Lord, through all your creatures, especially through my Lord, brother Sun, who brings the day and gives light through him." We can't escape the glory of nature and hopefully see our dependence on the creative that God has given to us, creation that God has given to us. Jesus knows that not everyone will praise this, and he says, our Father causes the sun to shine on the unrighteous and the righteous. He gives grace to everyone, whether they acknowledge the Creator or not. When we feel the warmth of the sun on our face on this longest day, I remember the energy that enables plants to grow, and this sustains and feeds us all. Someone once said that living on Earth is expensive, but we do get a free trip around the sun each year. As the sun circles that dazzling orb, we pray that the warmth of God's kindness, like the sun, will continue to shine on all of us, always, on this longest day.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so either by telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We've got 12 letters this week. Needless to say, quite a few of them are about the upcoming general election. So we'll start off with the first letter,
which is from Ginny Ward, and she asks the question, why vote? The general election looms nearer, and the government is changing, apparently, which may or may not be to everyone's taste, and some wonder if it's worth bothering on July the 4th. The answer to that is most definitely yes, to vote, and make it matter relating to local issues, if nothing else. In Winchester, there is a marked difference in local issues supported by the candidates, and it would be interesting to hear them speak at the hustings evening. There are independents, Green, Labour, SDP and Reform, all as minority parties. According to the media and parties themselves, it is likely that either the Liberal Democrats or Conservatives will win the seat of Winchester. Local issues that are in the forefront of my mind are the future of our hospital in Winchester and removal of the acute services to Basingstoke. This is hugely political, and although Flick Drummond is happy to allow this to happen, Danny Chambers is keen to maintain acute healthcare in or near to Winchester. Any new hospital built in the current plans will be about 15 or 23 miles from the current RHCH, which is too far if complications arise, especially in childbirth. Then there is the state of our chalk streams. Both main contenders attest to wanting to preserve our rivers, but from Flick's voting record, you would think that is not the case. She has also said we shouldn't flush our toilets during wet weather if we don't want sewage discharges, which is just daft. Danny has referred to water companies discharging sewage into our rivers as eco-vandalism, is a vet and has a scientific intellect. I want an MP who lives in our constituency, who will protect our NHS services and look after the environment. That was from Ginny Ward, Main Road, Littleton.
This letter from Chris Barfoot is entitled Poll Promise. Hello there to the mighty 13 districts that make up the Winchester constituency. The power of your vote likely means more today than ever it has before. It doesn't matter who will be at number 10 running the country from July the 5th, we cannot affect it. One MP out of 650, you might as well vote for the MP that works just for Winchester without a party to influence or get in the way. Vote for an independent candidate like me. I once spoke to the upper management people at OT about spam calls and could they stop them? Obviously it's a business, so they're not going to turn down people wishing to take out a multitude of numbers to spam society. They can track these numbers and they could eradicate them. Why aren't we making this law? It's an abuse, grifting little old ladies out of their savings. Get me into Parliament and I will lobby for powers to stop these spam calls. That's just one of the zillion things I want to do. Get me in the door. If you've never voted before or will never vote again, please do take this opportunity to join in right now. Whatever your politics, we are at a crossroads. You can take back control of your lives starting now. Be responsible and make a difference. And if you're part of Winchester, I'll look after you, I promise. And that's from Chris Barfoot, the independent candidate for Winchester constituency in the general election from Church Close in Loxheath. And we probably should add that a full list of candidates standing in the Winchester constituency can be found on the City Council's website.
This letter from Ian Tate is entitled Election Hopes. I was particularly interested to read your article about the City Council by-election for St Michael Ward, which coincides with the general election on July the 4th, Chronicle, June 20th. I represented the ward for 19 years, 1990 to 2018, and found the role extremely rewarding and interesting. For most of that time, I worked alongside the brilliant Fiona Mather, 2002 to 2021, who dedicated herself tirelessly to working for all the residents of the ward. Also, for 8 years, we were joined by Robert Sanders, and Robert's very strong business background was so helpful to both the council and residents. Whilst there are politics at the local level, what I have always felt it's more important is the commitment of the council to the area they represent. Since I came off the council in 2018, St Michael Ward has seen a lot of change with 7 different Lib Dem councillors. I have actually said to a number of them that I was sorry that they didn't stand for re-election, as they had been strong performers on the council and in the ward, and in my mind that's more important than the politics. The Lib Dem candidate this time stood for election in a rural part of Winchester, only 2 months ago, so I have to wonder how committed he is to St Michael Ward. All the other party candidates actually live in the ward, so perhaps can genuinely say they are the local choice. I wish all the candidates well, but having known Leo Key for most of his life, I am certain that he will continue the dedicated service to the residents of St Michael Ward that Fiona and Robert and I tried to do over a combined 46 years of service. This letter from Ian Tate, Romsey Road, Winchester.
This letter headed Hustings Affront to Democracy is written by 4 people, who are Chris Barfoot, Independent, Kevin De Cruz, Independent, Andy Lyming, Hampshire Independents, and Scott Neville, Nominating Officer, Hampshire Independents. And this is the letter. That the Alsford Hustings, as arranged by Councillor Sprott for Thursday, June 17th, should have been limited to the main party candidates is a blatant affront to democracy. We believe it is only right and proper that both the electorate and the other candidates should have the opportunity to hear and question alternative viewpoints. Independent minor party candidates bring a breath of fresh air to stale political thinking, and their contribution should be encouraged rather than eliminated. Consensus does not generate innovation. That is the job of people who think outside the box, and that applies as much in politics as elsewhere. It is also important that whoever becomes the next MP gets to hear the voices of those that disagree with them. An email to an MP is one thing, but someone willing to stand against them indicates a level of desire and public support for a different direction. Our MPs are not only elected to enact their manifesto, but also to represent us in Parliament. How can they do this effectively if they are excluded from hearing any non-mainstream voices? We may represent different parties with different positions, but we all agree that the democratic process must be fair and allow all voices to be heard. So, by copy of this letter, I am asking Andy Sprott to reconsider or to arrange another hustings to which only the previously excluded candidates will be invited. It's a less than adequate solution, but perhaps it could still be done prior to the election. Going forward, we might also suggest that it would be more appropriate to let the uninvited candidates know rather than allowing them to find out via the newspapers. And that letter is from Chris Barfoot, Independent, Kevin De Cruz, Independent, Andy Lyming, Hampshire Independents, and Scott Neville, Nominating Officer, Hampshire Independents.
Just to say, there is a response to that letter will be reported in the general news items a little bit later on.
And this letter is entitled Final Curtain. It's from Steve Piercy. So, as the Conservatives prepare to leave the stage, we are treated to a final curtain call of sleaze and corruption, with serious allegations of illegal betting on the date of the election. one last performance for Tory chancellors to use their time in office for personal financial gain. Surely a huge relief for us all to know this tawdry show is finally reaching the end of its run. And that's from Stephen Percy in Easton. Thank you.
Enough stuff. This letter from Monica Gill. I totally agree with your correspondent in the last issue of the Hampshire Chronicle about the amount of campaign leaflets from Danny Chambers. So far, I have 16 such leaflets. One of the recent ones was headed, "Enough is enough." Yes, enough is enough. No more, please. I was told once by a councillor they wanted to reduce the amount of paper to help the planet, but obviously does not apply to the Liberals, though. This from Monica Gill, Lawn Street, Winchester.
Lara Badger writes about a kind stranger. On Tuesday, June the 18th, at around 6:30 a.m, I fell over when going to the underpass near Swan Lane to get to the railway station. My head met the metal handrail, and there I was, sitting on the floor, dazed and confused, with blood pouring from the nasty wound on my head. Lucky for me, a man walked past and quickly came to my aid. He rang the ambulance and had tissues which he pressed against my head. He was from Slovakia, which is only important because he told me his name was George, but that was the English version of the Slovakian name. Whilst on the phone to the ambulance, another angel appeared. I believe her name was Lizzie. She had more tissues and also spoke to the ambulance. She then forced the co-op to open early and give her first aid supplies. Another kind lady stopped to help and got me water, etc. Lizzie and George stayed with me until the ambulance came. A 25 to 30 minute wait. They kept me alert, they took care of me, and must have missed trains to work. I am writing this because I want to say thank you. Thank you for your absolute kindness to a stranger and for showing that there are still good people in this world. I am now home with a stuck-together head and concussion, but I will be okay. That's from Lara Badger, Quarry Road, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
This letter from Derek Grayson is entitled Another Dose. We were in yet another government-created boom-bust cycle long before the pandemic and war occurred, and like any household business or country already laden with debt, were found wanting. These boom-bust cycles, which have taken place since the 1970s, are tantamount to state-sponsored Ponzi schemes, where the vulnerable have-nots in society find themselves even further behind the haves when the music eventually stops. Governments sow the seeds of inflation when they overstimulate the housing market with lower interest rates, help to buy schemes and stamp duty reductions, culminating in rapidly rising house prices. Buoyed by this, consumers are then enticed into a spending frenzy, often beyond their income, fueling inflation in the process. This, in turn, leads to the inevitable raising of interest rates, triggering a falling housing market, with the rest of the economy not far behind it, which, of course, leads to the lowering of interest rates, placing us straight back on this financially suicidal merry-go-round. Like musical chairs, you can only restart the music so many times. We need to get off this ride once and for all, stop using the housing market as the engine room of the economy, and produce more. Sadly, I feel that the government's response to our looming, stalling economy will be another dose of the same old medicine with the same old results. With the peaks getting higher and the troughs getting deeper, surely they must realise that these policies are not sustainable. It is never right that future generations are saddled with these eye-watering levels of debt in order that we can carry on living beyond our means. Somebody once wrote, "If voting changed anything, they would probably make it illegal." And that letter is from Derek Grayson, Christchurch Road, St Cross in Winchester.
This letter, forever grateful, is from Mrs R. Whiteman. I'm a person who loves to seize on an opportunity to pay a compliment when it is deserved. And this is one of those times. I have experienced cancer with my mother and later my husband, who both died. It was a real shock then, at the end of March 2024, to discover I had breast cancer. You never think it's going to happen to you. It was a very stressful and worrying time. That is, until I met Miss Diana Uwais, my oncoplastic surgeon, and her team of breast cancer nurses at the Florence Portal House. Miss Uwais explained everything so well at each stage, which took away my anxiety and gave me the strength to cope. Each time I had an appointment at the Florence Portal, it was like visiting family. In particular, the care I had from Miss Uwais was outstanding, inspirational, and made me feel very fortunate indeed to be under her care. I shall never forget her or her wonderful breast care nurses team, who are extra special, and I will be forever grateful to them. Thank you. Two little words, but which express my most grateful and sincere thanks. And this letter from Mrs. R. Whitman, Norris Gardens, South Wanston.
Kate Spencer writes about cathedral woes. Whilst the appointment of Andrew Lucas may well be one of an excellent cathedral musician, it is not the answer to the cathedral's woes. I fear that the Dean and Chapter believe that all will now be well, and that no more action need be taken. People will soon forget, and life in the cathedral will return to the status quo. This cannot be the case. All will not be well until the Dean and Chapter take responsibility for the sad demise of the cathedral's music community and face up to its duty to look after and safeguard all its staff and volunteers. This means a change of guard at the Dean and Chapter and an openness to all that does not presently exist. Try making a negative comment, not rude, on social media, and you'll find your comment has been declined. Dean and Chapter, apologise and look to your conscience. So writes Kate Spencer, Marlborough Road, Chalmersford.
And this letter from Una Stevens is entitled Untimely Loss. The Dean of Winchester says she is delighted about the appointment of Mr. Lucas as Interim Director of Music at the Cathedral. It seems rather strange that all the points she makes about Mr. Lucas's skills and commitment echo those of Dr. Lumsden, whilst conveniently ignoring the fact that the latter had them in abundance. We sincerely hope that Mr. Lucas will be able to resist the treatment that led to yet a third untimely departure of eminent organists, who have promoted Winchester's Cathedral's long tradition of choral music to the highest level. An independent investigation is long overdue. Let's hope and pray that it will reveal the truth of this highly regrettable situation. And that was from Una Stevens, Cliffway in Compton.
This letter, entitled Empty Premises, is from Simon Lever. I have noticed a number of empty premises, the most recent being Chiropody Chronicle, June 20th. Although there may be underlying reasons, such as poor business turnover, and in addition online purchasing as it is cheaper, another reason could be high rents, although a landlord cannot benefit from an empty shop and high business rates. High business rates are still anti-enterprise. Costs are already high. Companies hire people who pay tax. High council tax and business rates do the opposite. We need prosperity. Thousands of people visit Winchester every month. Only today at Winchester Cathedral's Kings and Scribes exhibition, there were visitors from France, the Netherlands, America and Canada. We must never take for granted Winchester's attraction as a world-class destination. This letter from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
That concludes the letters. Next we have Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, and that will be followed by first person.
Today's editorial comment is entitled Local Pub Couple's Cheering Story. It is what is known in the journalism trade as a man-bites-dog story, something that goes against the unusual. Regarding pubs, the narrative is that they close, an anachronism that is on a path to oblivion. Apparently, scores are closing every week, and we all love to drink cheap, as we all love to drink cheap supermarket alcohol at home. But this viewpoint is an example of lies, damn lies and statistics. Many pubs are closing, but quite a few are reopening, some after being empty for years, and new ones emerge. Our news story on page 3 about the Fox Inn is to be welcomed. Mandy and Peter Boxall are celebrating 10 years at the helm of the pub in Brandine, near Alsford. They have an unusual background, as neither had worked in the pub trade until career changes, but they clearly are highly suited to the business, having endured many setbacks. They told us the pub has now survived various trials and tribulations, including road closures and COVID. We've survived selling takeout beer, cider and food, then adapted the business by making outside space. We are now moving through our 10th year with great positivity and gratefulness to all our customers, and we would love to thank them all for their continued support. We are celebrating with 10 monthly events. The Boxall family are a rebuttal to the doom mongers who say pubs are doomed. They clearly aren't, but they have had to evolve. And it is interesting that within a 2-mile stretch along the A272, there are 3 thriving pubs: the Fox, the Hinton Arms at New Cheriton, and the Flower Pots in Cheriton.
This letter, Bigger Than It Looks to Me, by George Hayter. Winchester Cathedral is subject to a deceptive optical illusion. It appears to be one of the smallest of medieval English cathedrals, but it is, in fact, one of the biggest. There is no official ranking of cathedral sizes, but in sheer length, our cathedral is very big indeed. It is the longest medieval cathedral in the world. The nave is the main section of a church, and the nave of Winchester Cathedral is not only the longest, but also among the tallest in England. Only the naves of Salisbury, Ely, and Lincoln cathedrals are taller. So, if it is among the giants, why does our cathedral look rather small? How the great church deceives the eye is something I have pondered for years. Next time you gaze upon the world-famous building, you might like to consider whether you agree with my conclusions that the visual shrinking is down to 5 main factors. The first factor is simple. Our cathedral doesn't look as big as it might because it has no tower to speak of. Its apology for a tower is little more than a square stump. The second factor, in my opinion, is absence of a high platform for the cathedral to sit on. Recognised giants, Durham Cathedral and Lincoln Cathedral, look even bigger than they are because they look down on you from their sites atop high ground. Having to look up to them gives an impression of immense bulk. But our cathedral sits on low ground, and so visitors' first impression is less than overwhelming. As they approach its front door from Simmons Street, visitors look down on it. The west side of most cathedrals is crucial. It influences visitors greatly because normally the west side, or elevation, is where the front door is. That is the elevation visitors see as they approach before entering. Medieval cathedrals were designed to impress, so it is unfortunate that the elevation of Winchester Cathedral, which impresses least, is in western elevation. It looks smallest on that side, despite it featuring what is effectively a wall of glass 50 feet high. Factor 3. The main thing that stops that mighty west window and the whole west elevation looking as huge as they really are is the small size of its unusual stone porches that stick out at the bottom. So you walk not into a soaring architectural cliff about 100 feet tall, but a porch only about 20 feet tall. Intrusive, out-of-proportion stone balustrades above the porches also shrink the west elevation. They are my fourth factor. Despite the porches and the balustrades, the cathedral's west side, or elevation, would still look reasonably beefy if it wasn't for my fifth and final shrinker. That is the effect of three features at the top of the west elevation. These are stone pinnacles which soar above the roof and presumably were meant to make the building look taller. I think they have the opposite effect. The great height of the pinnacles, two stout ones, and highest of all, a slender central one, seems to mock the roof for not reaching as high as they do. I've used pictures of the cathedral to test my theories. With a photograph, you can put your hand over the three pinnacles and see where, as I claim, removing them makes the west front magically look bigger. Use your hand or a piece of paper to hide the porches, and that too makes the west window and the whole west elevation look bigger. Of course, the size of the cathedral is just one aspect of its character. Its beauty, its history, and its variety of architectural styles, from brutal Norman to delicate late Gothic, makes it one of the most enjoyable cathedrals in England. Cathedrals expert Simon Jenkins puts Winchester in his top six, and I remember journalist Janet Street Porter, who trained as an architect, declaring Winchester her favourite.
Right, so next we'll have some what's on announcements. From Friday the 5th to Sunday the 7th of July, it's the Winchester Hat Fair. And there'll be rather more information about what's going on in the Hat Fair in one of our news items a little bit later on in our recording. On Friday the 5th of July, the Take Note Chamber Choir will be singing folk songs about rivers and oceans in aid of the Royal National Lifeboat Institute at St Paul's Church at 7:30. On Saturday the 6th of July, the Romsey Choral Society will be singing Works with Words by William Shakespeare at St Cross at 7:30. On Wednesday the 10th of July, UK's best Dolly Parton impersonator, Kelly O'Brien, will be performing at the Theatre Royal Winchester at 7:30. From Wednesday the 10th to Sunday the 14th of July will be the Southern Cathedrals Festival at Winchester Cathedral. On Saturday the 13th of July is Southern Voices' 40th anniversary concert at St Paul's Church at 6 p.m. From Saturday the 13th to Saturday the 20th of July, the Chesil's Theatre will be presenting a dramatisation of the book Captain Corelli's Mandolin. From Saturday the 13th of July all the way through to Monday the 2nd of September, the Winchester Science Centre is hosting a children's festival of curiosity. It says in the information I have that it's suitable for ages 3 to 12, but I'm sure anybody is welcome there. And it's maybe something to think about if you've got grandchildren visiting over the summer. And then on Saturday, the 27th of July, there will be the Winchester Makers Market at the Ark in Drury Street, where locally crafted goods will be on sale. Sunrise around now is at about 10 to 5 in the morning, and sunset is around about 25 past 9 in the evenings. And as was already mentioned, as we are now past the summer solstice, the nights are now beginning to draw in again, though it's not all that noticeable at the moment. I won't say how many shopping days to Christmas.
No!
If you know somebody who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That's 01962 861 229. And this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We now continue with further items of news, and we'll start off with the information about the Hat Fair.
And this article is entitled Hats Off as Fair Returns to Celebrate 50 Years. The UK's longest running festival of outdoor arts buzzes back into life next month. Hat Fair, running from Friday, July the 5th to Sunday, July the 7th, will be commemorating its 50th birthday by highlighting talent in the region. The lineup features performances from youth theatre groups, drama students, choirs, musicians, singers, dancers, and many others, some of which are returning to the fray. Playmakers Youth Theatre Groups will showcase entirely original book-themed shows at the P&G Wells Bookshop and on Jane Austen's lawn. Alongside The Search for Winnie the Pooh's Honeypot, an audience-decided piece, they bring an alternative version of Cinderella. Cinderella, a story retold, and an interactive mystery performance, Who Stole the Jam Tarts?, featuring a combination of song, dance and poetry. University of Winchester students and recent alumni will also be spotlighted in the Top Hat competition, giving a peek into their creative work. A Laurel and Hardy style performance, a piece on playground games and growing up, an autobiographical exploration of ADHD, and a live art installation that celebrates women's free spirit. Georgina Willis, Holly Foskett, and Bill Starr, former winners, are back in the spotlight with original work. Winchester's very own Blue Apple Theatre's Special Assignments Company will embark on A Literary Promenade, a Jane Austen-themed walkabout performance. Adding to this, the company's singers are anticipated to deliver a fresh rendition of familiar songs. There is a diverse musical selection to be savoured, showcasing an award-winning Andover Ladies Choir, pop singer Eric Walker, Elvis classics from Jelvis, the Ukrainian Women's Choir, and Winchester Rock Choir. The festival will also host folk music performers, the Driftwood Troubadours and Hyde Pipers. Pop punk artist Ian Myers, Ukulele Maestro's Lounge Room Lizards, and Uke Box Glory, and Gypsy Jazz and Soulful Blues Band Sang Freud are some of the musicians appearing. The dance floor will feature the Hampshire Youth Dance Company and Liberate Dance, a wheelchair-based dance company, as well as traditional Bulgarian dance by Samodaitse and South American dance by 432 Nomads, Clash of Cultures. Arthur L. Wood, an award-winning poet, and Harvey Juggling, a renowned street performer, will also be at the Hat Fair.
Wow.
Cathedral welcomes independent review. Winchester Cathedral has said it welcomes the independent review launched by the Bishop of Winchester. The Bishop of Winchester, Philip Mountstephen, announced the review on Tuesday, June the 18th, after the resignation of Mark Byford, the senior non-executive member of the Winchester Cathedral chapter. Mr. Byford said he resigned with deep reluctance and disappointment after joining the chapter in 2017. The former Deputy Director General of the BBC said, "Unfortunately, and with great sadness, I have come to the conclusion that it is in the best interests of the Cathedral, myself, and associated relationships within chapter, that I take this course of action." A spokesperson for the Cathedral has said, "Winchester Cathedral welcomes Bishop Mountstephen's review. We are committed to fully engaging in the process, which will be conducted for the Bishop by an independent third party." They continued, "We appreciate the Bishop's support and share a desire to quickly understand and address any concerns related to our culture, management or governance, particularly in light of the recent concerns around the management of the much-loved choral tradition. We recognise that trust in the cathedral's leadership is essential for a healthy and flourishing church, and see a review as an opportunity to work towards that end goal. With the news of his resignation, we also want to thank Mark Byford for his dedicated service as senior non-executive member of chapter at Winchester Cathedral over the past 7 years. His contribution to the cathedral has been invaluable. We wish him every blessing for the future and will soon share plans to ensure we can honour his contribution. Mr. Byford's departure from the cathedral came amid concerns over the future of music at the cathedral. Initial concerns emerged following the announcement that the Director of Music at Winchester Cathedral, Dr. Andrew Lumsden, would be stepping down at the end of July. Former choristers had also expressed their fears over the departures of organist Claudia Grinnell and, in 2021, George Castle. One lay clerk, Toshi Ojita, broke ranks to write a public letter to the bishop asking him to intervene. The Dean of Winchester Cathedral has previously said that it is working to address concerns over the future of music at the cathedral and has committed to investing £850,000 into improving it. The Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, Dean of Winchester, said, "We want people to know we're listening to the concerns expressed around the management of cathedral music, including concerns about the culture. We are actively working on addressing these, and we'll communicate more in the near future."
Villagers meet French twins to pay respects. A group of Hampshire villagers met up with their French counterparts to pay their respects to the fallen. Colthen Common has been twinned with Saint Vigor, Le Grand, for 46 years, and a party of 20 locals travelled to the Normandy beach town in a twinning group. There they enjoyed a long weekend of fraternisation with their Gallic neighbours, consolidating their decades-long twinship. The festivities began on Friday, June the 7th, the day after the D-Day landings, 80 years ago, were celebrated and lasted for 3 days. The events included a ceremony at the Manoir du Petit Magny, where, in 1944, Canadian squadrons constructed field airfields to accommodate up to 80 aircraft. Their mission was to support the troops on the ground. An honoured guest was Lieutenant General Richard Romer of the Canadian Armed Force, who commanded the 430th Squadron of the Royal Canadian Air Force. At 100 years of age, he stood upright to address the many Saint Vigor dignitaries, including the mayor, children, and residents of Saint Vigor. The weekend culminated in a drop by 24 parachutists in 3 sticks onto the site of the original airfield. Over the weekend, the twinners, many of whom stayed with long-standing family contacts, were treated to a succession of meals and a barbecue. All around the area of Saint Vigor, including Bayeux and Port-en-Bassin, a multitude of period military vehicles paraded, driven by re-enactors in authentic military uniform. The atmosphere was joyous and exciting, according to the Colthen Common residents. Robin Warman of Colthen Common said, "In these post-Brexit times, it really showed that there is still a feeling of friendship between the English and the French."
Festival in bid to expand its capacity. Organisers of one of the UK's biggest music festivals are holding public consultations over its plans to increase its capacity. Boomtown Fair will be held for the 14th time from August the 17th to August the 14th at the Matterley Estate near Winchester. They want to submit plans to increase the number of people who can attend from 64,999 to 75,999. I must say at this point, I know we're not supposed to comment, but why did it not be 65,000 to 76,000? Anyway, so be it. Over a 3-year period. Organisers previously applied for the expansion in 2021, but withdrew the application in December 2022. Now they are holding public consultation events at the Flower Pots in Cheriton on June the 25th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 to 7 p.m. and June the 26th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 to 7 p.m. and June the 26th. A website has been launched to show a timeline of the plans, with a full application expected later this summer. A scoping report has been submitted to the South Downs National Park Planning Authority. The plans website said, "The scoping report outlines our vision for Boomtown, including our ambitions to increase capacity from 2025 over 3 years to 75,999 attendees, plus our additional 1,000 Sunday community." Not 999. It also dives into the potential environmental impacts associated with our event, because we're committed to protecting and respecting our planet. The report isn't set in stone. It's a living, breathing blueprint that will evolve through consultation with you, our local community, and the wider public. The EIA scoping report is an important step in ensuring a responsible and transparent development process. The website also sets out some background to the proposal. It said, "Currently, we have planning permission to host 64,999
just say 64
people with an extra 1,000 Sunday tickets. This remains out of sync with our licensed capacity set at 77,000 granted by Winchester City Council. This year, the event is called Chapter 3, Revolution of Imagination, with 12 main stages, more than 50 hidden venues, thousands of performers, and one secret lineup."
Wow. Can you imagine going there?
Church celebrates 30 years of female priesthood. Female clergy from around the Diocese of Winchester have celebrated 30 years since their ordination to the priesthood in the Church of England. On Saturday, June the 15th, a special service was led by the Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, Dean of Winchester at Winchester Cathedral. The first services to ordain women as priests were held 30 years ago, following an historic vote in the Church of England's General Synod. The very first service took place at Bristol Cathedral in March 1994, with services in our own diocese happening shortly after, in Maybush Parish in Southampton, Romsey Abbey, St Michael's Basingstoke, St Augustine's Bournemouth, and Winchester Cathedral. The Right Reverend Joe Bailey Wells, Bishop for Episcopal Ministry in the Anglican Communion, was the honoured guest preacher. She spoke about the occasion being a pearl anniversary, as the pearl is a symbol of 30 years, and also of the challenges still faced by women today across the worldwide church, where many women do not yet have the same freedoms. "Before there are any pearls, they begin as grit in the oyster," she said. "We give thanks today for those whose grit in the Church of England has produced the pearls and established the norms for women that we get to enjoy. And we pray for the determination of those whose gritty witness comes at a high price and has yet to bear fruit, trusting that it will, given the irrepressible goodness of God." All the women clergy who attended the service were invited to bring along an item that represented their ministry, such as a stole, a chalice, a book, a letter, or a piece of art, which were placed around an engraved candle, also specially engraved by the cathedral for the occasion, to symbolise the joys, pains and hopes of ministry.
Family fundraising for Autism Dog on target. A family has almost reached its fundraising goal to secure an autism assistance dog for their son. Emily Lowndes of Kings Barton launched a fundraiser to raise money for a four-legged friend to help her seven-year-old son, Stefan. Stefan, who has autism, struggles with going to new places and changes in routine, which can lead to heightened anxiety and meltdowns. Emily believes that an assistance dog could help Stefan's anxiety and boost his confidence levels. He already qualifies to have an assistance dog, with the family working to raise the £12,000 needed to have one provided through Autism Dogs Charity. The fundraiser is approximately £1,000 away from its target, with Emily holding a charity race night at Week Community Centre in Taplins Road on Saturday, July the 6th, to raise the last load of money. Mum of four, Emily said, "Please invite all of your friends and family and have some fun. There are lots of prizes to be won, so come and join us and see if you will be a winner."
Lib Dems announce new sewage busters. A new Liberal Democrat plan for sewage busters aims to crack down on water pollution across Winchester and the Meon Valley. Excuse me. The party has pledged £10 million per year to deliver new water quality inspectors as part of an ambition to recruit at least 100 new sewage busters. The new water quality inspectors would work for the party's new water regulator, the Clean Water Authority, giving it the capacity to deliver unannounced inspections. Under the party's plans, the water regulator Ofwat would be replaced with a new Clean Water Authority, which would take on relevant powers to inspect and clean up waterways in England from the Environment Agency. Danny Chambers, Lib Dem candidate for Winchester, said this ambitious plan of oversight would save waterways in Hampshire. He said a new wave of sewage busters will ensure no water company gets away with polluting our treasured rivers, lakes and coastlines. And in Winchester, the candidates in alphabetical order, we should say this, are Independent Chris Barfoot, Liberal Democrat Danny Chambers, Independent Kevin De Cruz, Social Democratic Party Andrew Davis, Labour Hannah Dawson, Conservative Flick Drummond, Green Lorraine Estelle, Hampshire Independents Andy Liming, and Reform UK Sean Whelan.
No invitation scandalous. An election hopeful has described the decision to only invite candidates from the main parties to a hustings as scandalous. Chris Barfoot is one of nine candidates in Winchester on July the 4th. A hustings was organised for Perrins School in Alresford. Organisers had invited candidates from the Conservatives, the Liberal Democrats, the Green Party, Labour and Reform UK. Two independent candidates and one Hampshire independent, as well as a candidate for the Social Democratic Party, had not been invited. Mr. Barfoot said, "As a candidate for MP, I am shocked that the Alresford hustings should only feature representatives of the major parties, withholding invitation to independent candidates. This is a snub and is undemocratic. I wish to voice my utter contempt for this. Whatever chances we as independents may have of promoting our wares, they are seriously blighted by this elitist behaviour. It is scandalous." Organiser of the Alresford hustings, Andy Sprott, said, "We set out to invite all the candidates, as we did last time in 2019. But with nine standing this year, we had to be realistic. There's not space on stage for that number, and it wouldn't allow enough time for a good spread of questions to be addressed."
Flight to stop road closure. A local association is rallying support for its petition against Hampshire County Council's plans to close Andover Road. The Kings Barton Residents Association, KBRA, claims the closure has no precedent in the UK history. Never, say the group, has a main road been permanently diverted through a housing estate in this country. The KBRA also says that the Secretary of State has acknowledged that the residents of Kings Barton have good reasons for wanting the road to stay open. the council intends to turn the road into a thoroughfare for cyclists and pedestrians. It has come to light that traffic will be diverted onto Winchester Road as early as January 2026. The KBRA laments the council's refusal to reconsider the plans and says that it is completely inappropriate to reroute a heavy flow of traffic through a densely populated area. The group says the diversion will cause increase in traffic accidents, noise and pollution in the neighbourhood. There will also be an increase in delays, according to the KBRA, which will show those headings north out of the city, which will slow those heading north out of the city toward the A34. Those living in Harestock, Week and the Worthies are also likely to suffer delays, say the group. A spokesperson for Hampshire County Council said, planning permission for the King's Barton development was granted in 2012 by the Secretary of State, following an appeal by Carla Holmes. The permission included the rerouting of traffic that currently uses Andover Road through the development site and the closure of Andover Road to traffic. The County Council, as the local highway authority, has no legal powers to reverse this planning decision.
Man owed £120 after shoe shop closes. A Winchester city centre store has closed without reimbursing its clients for their prepaid bookings. Alistair Hutchin, 82, of Ashurst, had appointments with High Street shoe shop Shuropody, but was not notified of its closure. He has heard nothing about the £120 he paid in advance to book podiatry treatment. He presumes the in-store sessions have been cancelled, but can't get in touch with the nationwide chain. He said, in the shop there was a girl called Catherine, who was so good that she had an enormous following. You had to wait months to get an appointment with her. It's unclear how many people may have been affected by the closure. Mr. Hutchin was aware that other branches had shut in a similar manner, including those in Salisbury and Southampton, leaving customers and staff in the lurch. I have heard, he said, that they don't bother to contact the people who pay in advance. I phoned all the telephone numbers, but they are all either dead or I get no answer. Their website is useless too. I think they're awful, actually. At least seven people lost their jobs when the shop closed on June the 19th. They were notified the day before that they would have to pack up the stock. The chain's Salisbury branch is to be closed on June the 30th for the second time in just over a year. It was reopened last November after having shut in July 2023. The news comes after a spate of closures in Winchester, with Bell Fine Art, Echo, Mooch, Phase 8, CCG, Pavilion and Patisserie Valerie all announcing their closures this year. And there's a photograph of Alistair Hutchin, good-looking chap, sitting, looking at the camera, and he's sitting next to a sign in the store's window, which interests me, because it says, this store is now permanently closed.
Permanently. Care home residents' special zoo trip. Residents of Shawford Springs Care Home enjoyed a special trip to Marwell Wildlife Zoo. For one resident, Richard, the journey was particularly heartwarming, having volunteered at Marwell for over half a decade prior to his residency at Shawford Springs. He provided an expert guided tour for his companions, regaling them with fun facts and impressive knowledge about the animals. Richard also had an opportunity to reconnect with old friends, among them Emma from Marwell's education department. Shawford Springs, part of the Barchester healthcare chain, provides dedicated care to 64 residents, requiring a range of services from respite care to long-term stays, including dementia care. Richard said, I'm so happy to be back at Marwell, where I spent many happy hours learning about all the animals who live here. I loved being able to revisit the tropical house, where I spent most of my time when I volunteered.
Drummond calls Lib Dems a weak party. Conservative election candidate Flick Drummond has criticised a Lib Dem councillor for his alleged lack of transparency in a letter to voters. George Baker, the former Labour candidate in the 2019 general election, urged Labour voters to support his current party's candidate, Danny Chambers. Mr. Baker stood for Labour in Winchester in the 2019 general election, finishing third, but does not mention his current role as an Eastleigh Borough Council for the Liberal Democrats in the letter. He was elected to his current post in May 2023 after switching allegiance. The letter, which was posted through the letterboxes of Chandler's Ford residents, reads as follows. At the last election, I stood for the Labour Party as their candidate to be the MP in Winchester, and the Conservatives beat the Lib Dems by just 985 votes. I came third. Now I'm backing Liberal Democrat Danny Chambers to beat the Conservatives and win here. Flick Drummond, the Conservative candidate for Winchester, told the Chronicle this was a sign of the Liberal Democrats' weakness. She commented, "Any political party that tries to obtain the votes of other parties through tactical voting is a weak party." If the Lib Dems had confidence in their policies, leader and manifesto, they would not need to ask for people to lend them their vote. That it clearly doesn't have that confidence here in Hampshire speaks volumes. And I think this Lib Dem councillor for pointing it out so succinctly. In spite of Ms. Drummond's comments, many polls are predicting that the Lib Dems will take the Winchester constituency. Mr. Baker was born with congenital muscular dystrophy and places an emphasis on services and benefits for the most vulnerable in society. When contacted on the issue by the Chronicle, Mr. Baker issued this statement. "I left the Labour Party a few years ago and joined the Liberal Democrats. I was elected to Chandler's Ford Parish Council in May 2022 and Eastleigh Borough Council in May 2023. I'm a firm Lib Dem for many reasons, but the biggest is probably our strong focus on the NHS and social care. This focus has the potential to bring significant positive change to Hampshire and the country in general. We can send Liberal Democrat MPs to Parliament who will champion this cause. We are the only party able to unseat the Conservatives in Eastleigh and Winchester. I personally know both candidates, Danny Chambers and Liz Jarvis, and I'm convinced they will give our constituents the change we need."
Pub of the Year winner. All your votes have been counted and we can now reveal who has won the Pub of the Year 2024. Our pubs are at the heart of our communities and should be treasured. Whether you're relaxing with a pint after work, enjoying time with friends or spending time with the family, nothing beats a trip to your favourite local. We asked our readers to nominate their favourite boozers to be in with a chance of being named the Pub of the Year 2024. After the shortlist was created, hundreds of our readers then had to vote to crown the winner. The competition was tight, but all the votes have been counted to reveal that the Hampshire Chronicle and Rumsey Advertiser Pub of the Year winner is the Bishop Blaze, 4 Winchester Road, Rumsey, SO518AA. I know it well.
Never heard of it, haven't you?
It's Ramsey. Our 2024 runners-up, who shone with the highest volume of nominations, should also be incredibly proud of themselves. The Northbrook Arms, East Stratton, the Mucky Duck, Hyde, Winchester, the Hanger Free House, Oak Hanger, Hyde Tavern, Hyde, Winchester, Titchbourne Arms, Titchbourne, Alsford, the Jolly Farmer, Full Flood, Winchester, Monk's Brook, Chandler's Ford, the Cart and Horses.
My local.
It is, I've seen you there.
Haven't seen me there, although I go. Kingsworthy, often.
And the Landlord and Poacher, Landford.
New trucks for waste. Winchester City Council has given the green light to a new £1.8 million food waste collection service. The council is purchasing 9 12-ton food waste collection trucks and an electric refuse collection vehicle, RCV, that will be used by Biffa, the service operator. The 9 council-owned trucks operated by hydro-treated vegetable oil cost nearly £1.34 million and are funded by the New Burdens Capital Grant. As part of its food waste reduction policy, the government has said councils must provide a food waste collection service that starts by April 2026. The government is funding the purchase of 7.5-ton trucks, but will not fund any costs incurred to changes at the depots housing the trucks. The council have decided to purchase 12-ton trucks to cater for the rural and urban nature of Winchester District, as the trucks need to cover longer distances. To ensure the necessary food collection trucks were ordered on time, a decision had to be made by Winchester Cabinet on June the 19th, despite it being a pre-election period. An electric RCV for a new route will be purchased and introduced in autumn 2024. The City Council members welcomed being able to test an electric refuse truck to understand its daily maintenance and operating costs. The Council agreed to fund the annual revenue cost of £36,000 to cover the cost of the electric RCV from the existing waste budget. The Council also agreed to foot the bill of £30,000 for infrastructure changes at the depot to enable charging of the RCV.
Winchester Rotary Walk for Hospice. The recent 10k sponsored walk for Winchester Hospice has so far raised £6,500. Held on June the 2nd, the walk began at the King Charles Public House in Kingsworthy with the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith, and Chair of the Hospice, Trustees Nick Vaughan, sending the groups of participants off with encouraging words. Vaughan, also a Southampton Rotarian, and Winchester Rotary President Les Haswell joined the walk, which saw attendees traversing paths of varying terrain along the Watercress Way. Despite rainy spells in the days before, the walkers, fortified by available coffee and croissant, contended with muddy paths and puddles on the way. Upon return, they had the opportunity to avail themselves of a special menu offered by King Charles and to check out the results of a raffle that had taken place during their walk. Thus far, the funds garnered from sponsorship donations, entry fees and the raffle have brought the total close to £6,500. This figure is steadily increasing and by month's end it is hoped to near £7,000. This year, Winchester Rotary has chosen the hospice as its main charity.
Cyclists smash through £10,000 fundraising target. A group who cycled from John O'Groats to Land's End have raised more than £10,000 for a charity that helped a man from Winchester to communicate. The challenge saw three family members, Rob, Rosa and Scott, complete the 1,000-mile journey to fundraise for charity S2C. They were inspired by a non-speaking autistic family member, Thomas Watson, who found his voice through the charity's programme, learning to talk at the age of 24 by using a method called spelling to communicate, which transformed his life. His mother, Joanne Watson from Compton, said she had been touched by the heartwarming response after she shared Tom's story to promote the charity bike ride. She said, "The responses we have had have been both touching and heartwarming. This programme involves non-speaking individuals learning how to spell out their thoughts, feelings and opinions by using a series of increasingly complex letter boards. The process has been transformative for Tom, us as parents, his sister and our entire family." The S2C programme is based in the United States and up until now there have been no UK-based practitioners to provide the necessary support for other families looking to achieve the same goal.
The top three cafes to grab a bite to eat and a drink. Winchester is lucky to have many wonderful places to eat or drink, so here we take a look at the top three cafes as rated by customer reviews on TripAdvisor. Number one is Cabinet Rooms in Jury Street. Described as friendly and relaxing by the locals, Cabinet Rooms has a varied offering, such as hot and soft drinks, sweet pastries and other breakfast items during the daytime. In the evenings, it turns into a bar selling ciders to cocktails and opens its menu to more snack-related goods like cheese boards and sharing platters. The cafe expanded into the unit next door last year and now enjoys a corner unit opposite the Theatre Royal. For more information, go to cabinetrooms.com. Number two is Café Monde in the Square. Café Monde is owned by Phil Simmons and offers a range of breakfasts and opens its menu to the vegetarians and vegan community. Providing breakfast, lunch and brunch, Café Monde gives customers the option to sit outside and enjoy the weather, accompanied by free Wi-Fi. Customers have described Café Monde as excellent and a great value for money. Finally, at number three comes in Chococo in the High Street, selling a variety of chocolate treats and desserts to be eaten inside the shop or taken away. Chococo ranks third in the list of top cafes. Chococo produces gelato, which can be enjoyed with a hot drink and bakery goods. Enjoy a light lunch in the sun at 152 High Street.
Crowds enjoy the best of county's wines at Fizz Fest. More than 1,000 people soaked up Hampshire's best wine at Fizz Fest. The event on Sunday at the Grange, the winery at Burgess Field Vineyard near Alsford, was its 10th anniversary. A total of 8 vineyards showcased their offerings to coincide with the conclusion of English Wine Week. People enjoyed the warm weather along with Alsford ukulele jam, a wide range of food and rink stalls, tasting sessions and vineyard tours. The vineyards at the event were Black Chalk, Danebury Vineyards, Exton Park, The Grange, Hamilton Vineyard, Hattingley Valley, Louis Pommery and Rames. It is the main event for the Vineyards of Hampshire, an association of preeminent wine-producing businesses that promote the county's high-quality wines and wine tourism. Sam Baring from Hosts, The Grange, said, "We had a very good turnout and everyone seems to be very interested in what we're saying. Most of these Hampshire vines are on chalk and that is what is spectacular about it." Caroline Stevens from Danebury Vineyards, based at Nether Wallop, said, "The vineyard was planted in 1988 and we produce a sparkling and still wine. We use an English heritage grape variety." Caroline explained that Vineyards of Hampshire is, she said, "We are celebrating our 10th year together. The reason we got together was to promote Hampshire wines. At the moment we have 8 members from across Hampshire. When people see an English sparkling wine on the menu in a restaurant, they tend to avoid it. So this is the way to get people talking about it. We get the new people every time. In the last 10-15 years, English sparkling wine has just exploded in popularity. It's very exciting." Carl McCulloch from Exton Park said, "We're unique in that we're a single vineyard produce, so we produce ourselves on site. We grow our own grapes from our 60 acres and we have our own winery. We hold back a lot of our wine each harvest in reserve and then we back blend everything. We think it's the best way to capture the expression of a single vineyard."
We quite often end with an item from about Marwell Zoo. We do it again this week, but a rather sad piece of news. Zoo's giraffe, Makeda, dies after dental operation. A giraffe who lived at Marwell Zoo all her life has died at the age of 19. Makeda died on Wednesday, June 19th. The zoo's veterinary team had been treating Makeda for serious dental disease for a number of months, but the medication stopped working and the condition could not be left untreated. Giving anaesthetics to animals carries a risk and is particularly difficult with giraffes due to their size. The procedure was a challenging one, with the zoo's veterinary and hoofstock teams working together to administer the anaesthetic to Makeda to carry out the dental treatment, which, according to the zoo, went well. However, she did not recover from the anaesthetic despite the efforts of the zoo teams. Makeda was born at Marwell Zoo in 2005 and lived her whole life among the Marwell herd. Marwell Zoo's hoofstock team said, "The team is deeply saddened by the loss of one of our giraffes, Makeda. She was such an inquisitive character, with a keenness to be involved with everything, and made up an important part of our herd. Makeda did incredibly well when training with her keepers, thanks to her willingness to learn and her love of food. She was greedy and confident, knowing exactly what she wanted, but we wouldn't have wanted it any other way. She will be greatly missed by us all."
Oh, they are huge, and when you get up close to them at Marwell, they are enormous.
So that concludes our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Diana Brooks,
goodbye,
John Richards,
goodbye,
and Jane Rutter,
goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 5 p.m. And don't forget to vote next Thursday.
Indeed.
Indeed.